in releasing it. And some of the numbers that we see in this report, Sarah, I can't tell you, they're the most startling things I've ever seen. I think your listeners, I think you'll agree with what I'm about to tell you. It'll blow you away. In fact, I don't know that I've ever been so shocked after reading something. What do the U.S. government publicly calls their single largest asset? And I'll say this to you. You'll want to throw up when I tell you what it is. It's the most grotesque thing I've ever heard in 29 years of owning a precious metals company. You have any idea? These are things that are far more relevant and far more important than the crap we see on the news every single day. You need to mitigate your exposure to the US dollar, and you need to do it quickly, because the central banks of the world are doing just that. They're de-dollarizing, and I think that we are going to see some interesting, tumultuous times in the second half of 2019 leading up to the election. Trump will not back down from any of this stuff. He will not go into the election showing weakness. In fact, while I'm very patriotic and wish him nothing but the best, these are scary times, period.
The scientists at LivePet are hard at work solving our cancer epidemic. They have the most promising cancer trials going on now with pet clinics around the country that I have ever seen. You can see the promising cancer research and trials going on some of the past shows that I've done. The links are below. While working with C60 and other ingredients, these talented scientists developed a hair growth serum that really works. They sat on it for years. After all, cancer is their focus. But they now realize how much the profits from this product could really help their cancer research. So the C360 hair growth product was launched. C360 hair growth is specifically designed to revive your hair growth by targeting hair follicles and restarting your hair growth cycle. C60, the active ingredient in C360 hair growth, reactivates hair follicles that have stalled due to hereditary hair loss, physical conditions, or environmental factors that may affect follicle production. You will begin to see visible results using C360 hair growth within 3 to 6 weeks. Buy today knowing that your future hair growth will help fund very promising cancer research. See more at the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, we have Andy Shechtman coming back from Miles Franklin. And I got to tell you, this was a great interview. He just was on a roll. I just sat there and I listened. So there's a long span of him talking with me saying nothing because I was so interested in what he had to say. And I got to tell you, this is so important. The new Treasury report that came out and what's in that, and the fact that we're $75 trillion in debt, and the biggest asset that we have is student loan debt. I mean, it's incredible. You got to listen. This is a great interview from Andy Shechtman. He sells precious metals, but he is very passionate today about why precious metals is important. And he gets into that a little bit later, but man, he makes a good argument. And when you listen to this, I'm telling you, even if you're not into precious metals, the information that he is sharing here is really important. You don't hear this anywhere. You don't hear this in the mass media, of course, which is what we talk about, how criminal it is that this important information isn't shared in the mass media. And I'm sure you're going to hear it in different alternative media channels when they're talking to financial gurus or something, but not many. I mean, there aren't many people who are as bright as Andy and really looks at the geopolitical situation. So I'm just happy that we did this interview. And I want to tell you, for my patrons, I have the recent Treasury report. I have a link to that so you can read through it. There's bombshell information in there. And it's just a shame that our country doesn't. And then this isn't front page news. So let's get into my interview now with Andy Shechtman.
Hi, Andy. Welcome back to the program.
Sarah, always great to be here. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
We have a lot to talk about. And with the Trump team starting to really put tariffs on China, I wanted to talk about what your perspective is on this. A lot of people are saying that China really has had a financial war against the United States for the last 2 decades or 3 decades. Beginning of the 90s. What would you say to that? And I mean, do you agree?
Well, I think you can make that argument. I think it's been a very one-sided war. And Trump, that was, the whole object, I think, of his implementing tariffs is to make it more of an even fight. With the 2020 elections on the horizon, I don't see Trump backing down from his positions. With the added blacklisting of the telecom giant in China, which is a source of national pride, I think it has really, really, really upset Chinese pride, nationalism. I think this is going to be an issue where neither side wants to. And when you talk about Chinese pride and nationalism, it takes it to a whole different level. So I look to see the trade war worsening. I hope it doesn't reach the nuclear stage where China is forced or backed up against a wall and decides to dump their over $1 trillion in U.S. treasuries as an ultimate, response to the terror trade war that we're seeing right now. It's kind of a scary thing, actually.
Do you think that they would? Because isn't there such an interdependency that to do that would be hurting themselves as well, or not?
Well, there is the old saying, you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face. But just like any adversary, if you push them far enough back against a wall, you start to do things emotionally or fly off the handle, and that's when bad things happen. And so, I guess there's been a measure of civility to this point. When you start to see blacklisting of the telecom giant in China that is such a source of nationalistic pride, I think you're beginning to see the gloves come off. So do I think they want to do it? No. Do I think they would do it if they were forced to? Absolutely. I do.
Well, and there's a difference between putting tariffs on, because China has tariffs on our products that are higher than what we had. I mean, it's almost impossible for the average Chinese to buy our products because of their tariffs, which is a problem. And that's why people are saying that there's a one-sided war going on. But it's different than banning their telecom giant. That's a whole other deal. Why have we banned their telecom giant?
Well, I think it sends a message. It's a shot across the bow that he's serious. And although I am not privy to the specifics as to why he banned that particular company, I think it certainly sends a very strong message that he's very serious. More than anything, perhaps it's an issue of symbolism that he means business, and until things change, it's not going to get any better.
Well, and I think there's tariffs, which are financial, and then there might be issues of controlling our data. And worried about that one-sided war. It's not really a one-sided war anymore, but the information war of them controlling our data. But I was wondering if there was any financial aspect to that as not. And I guess there's both.
Look, they're very well may be, and there probably is. To me, it's more of an issue of symbolism and that they're digging in their heels and mean business. And so I don't think this will be something that ends very politely. I don't think Trump wants to acquiesce to show weakness heading into the election. And I think that the Chinese at this point are very angry and very angry with the Trump administration for what they're doing. And, I think that this is probably going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. You're going to see increased costs across the board. People have grown addicted to the low prices across the board in places like Walmart. But when so much of what you see is imported from China, Or even look at companies like John Deere just reported very, very bleak forecasts because, the farmers don't want to buy tractors because Chinese may not want to buy their soybeans or their crops. This is much more far reaching than just implements. It has a ripple effect through the entire economy. We're beginning to see that in companies like John Deere. And so I think that, this is certainly something to keep an eye on. But again, leading up to the election, I do not see it getting any better. In fact, I see inflationary rising prices into the second half of the year as a result of this. I think prices are going to move up and the economy is going to get a lot murkier as a result.
Well, but do you blame them? I mean, if we're in a situation where there's been a one-way war waged against the United States and the tariffs on U.S. products going into China are a situation where the average person can't even buy, where they have an open door policy to us. In fact, we even subsidize some of the Chinese products coming in here, some of the mail, the postage costs and stuff like that. Aren't we undermining our own economy by not pushing back like Trump's doing?
Absolutely. I mean, the argument that Trump would maybe say is that, look, we've given up 60,000 plus manufacturing jobs. But that's the price you pay for cheap goods at Walmart and Costco. And, you know, I think that those days perhaps are coming to an end. Indeed, if we see these tariffs, the first place that people are going to feel it is the middle class. People who are shopping at discount stores looking for a good deal, those deals are going to get markedly more expensive. And I think that his intentions are in the right place, but the actual implementation and the effects of it are going to be painful. There's no question about that.
Get the best priced and most bioavailable TA65 telomere lengthening product on the market, the BioEnhance TA65. Being that TA65 has been proven to lengthen human telomeres, it has historically been priced at thousands of dollars and out of reach for most people. But this new low-dose formulation with up to 50 times better absorption now makes it a realistic option for those seeking the telomere lengthening benefits of TA65. At only $100 per bottle, it is now more affordable than ever at the lowest price seen in the market. Buy today with confidence with the link below.
Well, I mean, at some point, if they drop their tariffs down so they can, their local people can actually afford our products, and we don't end up, you know, removing the tariffs, we might get rid of some of those incentives. We might pay a little more, but overall, we could be doing a lot better. So do you think this pain is something that's worth it, or do you think it could backfire on us? Or both, you know?
I think it could backfire. Ultimately, in theory, it's worth it, but I think it could backfire. I do. Look, the truth of the matter is that the Chinese are a foreign nation, and we are their biggest consumer of their goods. And we've grown addicted to that, to the point of shipping off most of our manufacturing base as a result. And so, you know, there's certain pain, and the pain will really be for the average working person. I think that the Chinese are in this till the end. I think you're already beginning to see op-ed pieces there talking about nationalistic pride. And I don't think that they're going to want to give in. I think it will be much more painful for the U.S. than it will be for China before it's all said and done. So how it all plays out, I have no clue. I don't really know how it'll play out. But I do think that, if we push them far enough and hard enough, you could see them start to unwind their treasury position, which would really exacerbate the problem altogether. Some people would say it wouldn't amount to too much, as their $1 trillion in treasury holdings only amount to 5% of our debt. But nonetheless, I would argue it would probably have ripple effects much more far-reaching than just the 5%. It would be a lot deeper than that. So I think this is... While I respect what Trump is trying to do, and I do, I understand it. It makes good sense. It's logical. It has been one-sided. I think that he's doing it in a way that he's kind of taking a gamble, in the respect that if it doesn't pay off, well, they have the ability to fight back, and they can fight back pretty quickly by making it rough on our treasury market and our interest rate environment. So I guess we'll have to see, Sarah. But nonetheless, I think it's something to pay very close attention to as we head into the election. It will be center stage.
Oh, I think so, too. Well, and the other thing that worries me is that China has a message that they can control. You know, I don't believe in controlling the narrative, but China's a communist country with a top-down management, and they're going to control their message, whereas here we have a whole media that's against Trump, you know? So which is treasonous in my opinion. So now he's fighting a war with one or maybe two hands behind his back. You have one where China's whole media is supporting their president. And then you have here where our media is going against him 24 hours a day.
Right. That's the nationalistic side in China. And I find it completely distasteful, treasonous. You bet. It's, to the point where I can't stand watching CNN for more than 30 seconds. I think that what they have, whether or not you agree with President Trump's motive, not his motive, but his methods, he's still the president and deserves respect. And he's done a lot for this country, whether people will open their eyes to it or not. Yes, he could be different in his approach and perhaps be not so boisterous with his tweets and his commentary. The things that he's done, as far as I'm concerned, are all with a good heart and moving in the right direction, helping this country in ways that other presidents haven't done ever. He's getting a bad rap, no question about it. If I had one wish, it would be that just tone down his rhetoric a little bit, because I think he's doing great things. His rhetoric is making it a little tougher on himself. And when you're fighting the U.S. government and fighting a trade war at the same time, excuse me, the U.S. media and fighting a trade war at the same time, you're right, he does have both hands behind his back. And that's why I'm not sure how this is going to end. But nonetheless, I think it's something, again, to watch very closely. Perhaps this will hinge upon whether or not he is reelected in 2020.
Well, and I'd like to see the mass media pull their heads out of their behind and give him a little bit of slack when it comes to the color of his hair and how he stands and all these other things, and start looking at actions and what it is that they're, you know, the real meat of what's going on. Because otherwise, they're undermining our country and their children and my children and your children by not having some brains in their head and looking at it from what are these actions and what does this mean to this country, because it's so much more important than that. And so from my perspective, it's like, hello, look at these actions and don't sit and beat them up 24 hours a day. But I think you're on track. But let's talk about your some of the conclusions and some of the research that you've been doing on what the U.S. Treasury is doing and what's going on with the dollar. Because I think people are very interested in knowing what some of these new, you know, there's a new report out and new things to share.
Yeah, so the Treasury issues a report every year in February. Of course, this year, with the government being shut down the first quarter, they were a little bit late in releasing it. And some of the numbers that we see in this report, Sarah, I can't tell you, they're the most startling things I've ever seen. I think your listeners, I think you'll agree with what I'm about to tell you. It'll blow you away. In fact, I don't know that I've ever been so shocked after reading something. So basically, in the fiscal year 2018, the U.S. government reported a net loss of $1.16 trillion. And, you know, before we talk about the size of these things, let's just talk about the size of a trillion. A trillion seconds ago was 31,680 years ago, or thereabouts. The numbers have gotten so big, it's unbelievable. Yet, the word trillion sounds like a million, and there's lots of millionaires out there, so a trillion can't be too much, right? Well, it really is. 31,688 years ago being a trillion seconds. So with that as a basis for what we're talking about, last year, 2018, the Treasury said we have $1.16 trillion shortfall. For the fiscal year 2018. They also have assets too, though. You know, they have $3.5 trillion in assets. They took in last year $4.5 trillion, I think, in tax revenues, or $3.5 trillion in tax revenues against $4.5 or $5 trillion in spending. So the negative shortfall was $1.16 trillion measured against $3.5 trillion in assets. And here's where it gets really funky. This blew me away. I think it'll blow you away too. Of those $3.5 trillion in assets, excuse me, take a guess. What do you think is the U.S. government's single largest asset? Well, they claim in this report issued by the Treasury, of the $3.5 trillion, what is their single largest asset? Now, I'm going to make it easy for you, okay? Easier.
Well, gold or no, military equipment.
Gold, they have 8,000 tons or what have you. It amounts to half a trillion dollars, somewhere in that neighborhood. But let's talk about, it's not the military. So whatever I'm talking about is worth more than every bullet and every aircraft carrier. It's not real estate. It's worth more than every national park and every parcel of land that the United States owns. Those two things amount to about $2 trillion. Roughly a half a trillion in real estate and just over $1 trillion in military aircraft carriers, bullets, airplanes, you name it. So when you put it all together, bridges, national parks, all that stuff, that's not it. What do you think the U.S. government publicly calls their single largest asset? And I'll say this to you. You'll want to throw up when I tell you what it is. It's the most grotesque thing I've ever heard in 29 years of owning a precious metals company. You have any idea?
Not now.
Student debt of the United States, the single largest asset that the world reserve currency, the center of free trade, the United States called it. You might remember a few years ago, the Fed made it, even if you go bankrupt, they made the law that you cannot disavow yourself of your student debt obligation. The burden of our children is our largest asset. It's a crime. It's absolutely horrible. And then they go on to say that when we factor in the $52 trillion shortfall that they publicly have just said in Social Security, which will publicly, they said, go bankrupt in 15 years, will be insolvent along with the Medicare Trust Fund. So basically what you're saying is a government is saying that they spent almost half of what they took in tax revenue last year on Medicare and Social Security, both of which will be broke in 15 years, that their largest single asset is the debt of our children. It's absolutely ridiculous. So when you add it all together, when you add the $22 trillion in debt, national debt, on top of a $53 trillion shortfall in Social Security, not even taking into account Medicare or government military pensions or things like that, their negative net worth is negative $75 trillion, according to the report they just released by the U.S. Treasury Department. So when you talk about incentives to buy gold and mitigate your exposure to the U.S. dollar, you're talking about a country that's $75 trillion in debt. And when you add the other unfunded liabilities into the equation, in excess of $100 trillion. And so I would say to you that the question should not be how much precious metal should one own, but rather what exposure do you want to a country that is that indebted? And the thing that blows me away, Sarah, is why is this not front page news on every newspaper in America that our country just published that they're $75 trillion in debt? And why are people not screaming about the fact that the Social Security Trust will solve it in 15 years? These are things that are far more relevant and far more important than the crap we see on the news every single day. And so I think that, you know, when you realize, Sarah, that every media outlet, not talking you because you're a breath of fresh air, but every newspaper, every radio station, every television station, every magazine in the United States is owned by four companies. So the information that is being disseminated to the public is so boiled down into a narrative that we are supposed to hear. And things like this, things that should be the most important thing in the world, like our government is broke and our Social Security system is insolvent and our Medicare system is insolvent, and yet no one talks about it. So I think that, you know, it's time to open our eyes and realize that things aren't as rosy as we may believe. And deep down, I think Trump understands this, and that's why he's trying to level the playing field. He's trying to shorten our trade deficit, which is a leading cause to these problems. And we're just burning through money to buy more crap from a country like China that we don't need, instead of investing in our infrastructure and paying off our debt and, you know, doing things that, you know. And then, of course, if we were to get the new agenda like Bernie into office, who wants to, you know, make these debts go away and pay for free schooling, jobs for everybody, and, you know, without one worrying who owns the factories and who owns the schools and all of these things. It's, to me, we're in a problem right now. We're either looking at a Republican administration who's hell-bent on spending trillions of dollars every single year. In fact, in this report, they said after 2020 or 21, they do not expect the deficit to ever be less than $1 trillion per year. So you have the Republicans who want to spend their way out of this problem, or the Democrats who want to make everything for free, a socialist agenda. Either way, we're in trouble. And so I would simply say to you, whether it's inflation or deflation, precious metals should be the center stage. In fact, most people believe that inflation is the best performing breeding ground, if you will, for precious metals. And I would argue it's deflation, because when in a deflation or a depression, precious metals are the only assets that are not simultaneously someone else's liability. In other words, counterparty risk. You don't have to worry about the creditworthiness of a gold American Eagle or a gold Maple Leaf or a gold bar or a silver coin or whatever it may be. So when we talk about owning precious metals, whether it be hyperinflation, which we could very well see, or it'd be a Great Depression, which we could very well see. Having some exposure to the to precious metals and mitigating your exposure to the dollar has never been more important. And I think it's super important to realize, Sarah, that price is an ultimate tool of misdirection. You see, the price is being, and at the same time, there's something called the Basel III Accord. And you and I were talking about that offline. The Basel III Accord just went into effect March 29th, last month, which basically makes gold a tier one asset. It's the same valuation with all of the central banks as U.S. Treasury and cash. It's the first time it's ever been that way. It's always been a tier three asset, valued at 50% on the balance sheet. Now it's 100%. And therefore, that might explain why in 2018, the central banks accumulated more gold than they had in any time in the last 50 years. They are accumulating it hand over fist. In fact, 70% more the first quarter of 2019 than the first quarter of 2018. You have the most sophisticated, well-funded, and well-informed traders on the globe who, A, have just called gold the same thing as U.S. Treasury or cash, and B, who are accumulating it hand over fist and have been for the past roughly 16, 17 months. At the same time, J.P. Morgan has amassed over 900 million ounces of physical silver and 20,000 ounces of gold in their house account, effectively the largest physical position the world has ever seen, as they all have been holding down the paper price with levered futures contracts. So again, I will underscore what I'm saying by you have the most sophisticated traders, the well-funded, well-informed traders on the globe, really cornering the physical market, doing so by holding down the paper price to create a perception of reality with all of this crap we're seeing in the background, the horrible statistics, the horrible numbers, the huge amount of debt, so much debt, in fact, that the Fed chairman from the Dallas Federal Reserve came out and publicly said, this is exactly why that they did a 180 on raising interest rates, because the U.S. is so interest rate sensitive right now, both in corporate debt, the highest it's ever been, and government debt, the highest it's ever been, that he publicly came out and said, that is why they did an about face 180 on interest rate hikes, because it'll crush the economy. Which leads me to one more point. And I'm sorry to monopolize.
No, this is really good. I when somebody has a good rant that they're on, I just let them go. So go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that. There's something that all your money manager listeners out there who aren't quite sure about gold really need to look into, and that is the Ibbotson study, I-B-B-O-T-S-O-N. Ibbotson is a division of Morningstar. Morningstar, most people will know, is the largest financial research company in America. All they do is research. They don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak. Ibbotson came out with a report not too long ago, reading and understanding, especially for people who aren't quite sure about their feelings on gold. What the Ibbotson report said were two things that I take away from it. Anyway, it's a fairly lengthy report, but two things I take away. Number one, most people think they have a balanced portfolio, Sarah, if they own a smattering of stocks and bonds. They're supposed to be inverse of one another. But what Ibbotson said is because interest rates are so manipulated low, that the correlation between the inverse correlation between stocks and bonds is gone. Because if interest rates go up, it'll collapse the bond market, the mother of all bubbles. Remember, as interest rates go up, bond prices go down. So that's number one. But number two, if interest rates go up considerably, who will invest in a stock market that by almost every measurement, price to earnings, price to book, corporate debt to earnings, corporate debt to GDP, all of the major measuring sticks for how we value the market, they're off the chart overvalued. So if interest rates go up, wouldn't you rather invest in treasuries with safety rather than speculate in the stock market at its all-time high that, by the way, is at its longest run since 1929 unabated? You go all the way back to 1929, there has never been a bull market that has run to almost 1,000 days without taking a breath. So by every metric, we're overvalued. By every metric, it's been too long in the tooth. And you have Ibbotson who comes out and says two things. One, the core inverse correlation between stocks and bonds is gone. And if interest rates rise, think of what the Fed guy said for Dallas, the markets collapse. Number two, they said that the greatest inverse correlator to the United States stock market are precious metals, period. And anytime going back to 1820, going back several 200 years now, that anytime the stock market's been down for 3 years in a row, there has not been an asset on the planet that has performed better than precious metals. Bottom line is, with what is happening with the amount of debt, with the amount of uncertainty, with the amount of anger centered at the administration's maneuvering, to not have a position in precious metals right now has never been more detrimental. And the biggest thing that is keeping people out of this game, when the mathematics and the logic are screaming for it, is the manipulated price. You know, you and I haven't ever talked about one of my really big interests, and that is the book, The Art of War. And The Art of War is a book that was written in the 5th century BC by a Chinese military strategist named Sun Tzu. That book is taught in almost every major business school in the world on corporate hierarchy. It's taught in almost every major law school in the world on formulating arguments. It's taught mandatory reading at West Point, mandatory reading if you're a CIA. It's highly encouraged if you're a military officer. The thing, Bill Belichick, the greatest football coach of all time, uses it to implement game strategy. It's how to beat an opponent without throwing a punch. It's the no-look pass in basketball. It's very pervasive in business. And the bottom line is, you cannot trust your lying eyes. You have to trust your gut and look at the numbers. When the most sophisticated traders on the globe are accumulating as much gold and silver as they did in 2018 and through the first quarter of 19, when the federal government comes out and says, we're broke, and our Social Security system is broke, and our Medicare trust fund is broke, when the largest owner of U.S. Treasuries is Social Security, we're in a mountain of trouble. And I think it's never been more important for your listeners to mitigate their exposure to the U.S. dollar before the you-know-what hits the fan. You must do things in a proactive fashion, because the big money will not let it be visible. They will misdirect you, in this case, with levered futures contracts. It's only cost about $4,000 to buy a 100-ounce gold contract, which enables you to control $130,000 worth of metal. So the big, 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 big players, they can control the price and the perception of price very easily by pushing the COMEX market around, which is a farce. And one of these days, the COMEX market will be exposed for the farce that it is. In fact, right now, the Shanghai gold market is delivering 65 times more gold than the COMEX. The Chinese know that the COMEX is a farce, but all of these manipulators, the Chinese included, they don't care, because it's a subsidy for them to get out a dollar, to de-dollarize, to sell treasuries, sell dollars, and buy gold, which is now a tier one asset. And one of these days, we're going to wake up and the shit is going to hit the fan, and we're all going to realize that, hey, should have listened to Sarah a long time ago and added a little gold and silver to my holdings. I really do believe that.
Well, now you just said something. The COMEX is essentially subsidizing the Chinese in their gold holdings. To me, that's another indication that the global elite are investing in the East and abandoning what we have going on here. I mean, because there's indications like that. I mean, that's a big thing that you just pointed out. The other thing,
I'll tell you another
indication. Go ahead.
Here's another indication. Now, I do not know this to be true, and as far as I know, I'm one of the only people who's saying this. A few years ago, Blythe Masters, who used to run the metals division at J.P. Morgan, came out when questioned and said, the metal in that account is not ours. So when you talk about a 900 million ounces of physical silver, the largest position the world has ever seen, nine times what the Hunt brothers tried to acquire in 1980. When you talk about 20,000 ounces of gold, you're effectively talking the largest physical position of metal the world's ever seen. And Blythe Masters, who's no longer at JP, did publicly say it's not ours. Now, what if, just what if, that belongs to the Chinese? The Chinese said, we'll strike a deal with you. In 2008, when Bear Stearns went bankrupt, and the head of the CFTC, who just passed away just a couple of weeks ago, publicly came out and said that the deal was brokered between Hank Paulson and Jamie Dimon. There were special considerations allowed to J.P. Morgan because their position limits would be too high. And so what if the deal basically was the Chinese said, okay, listen, we're not going to dump treasuries, but you're going to allow us to continue. We see what's been going on in the COMEX all these years, to hold the price down so that we can accumulate without selling treasuries. In fact, maybe we'll even add a little bit of treasuries to our stack, but you're going to let us accumulate as much gold and silver as we want at these prices. It's either the U.S. government or the Chinese government who owns that stash of metal. And if I had a gun to my head right now, I would say it was the Chinese government who owns the position that J.P. Morgan is holding or brokering on their behalf. The largest silver position the world's ever seen, and one of the largest gold positions the world's ever seen, in a very private, clandestine manner. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit at all if what you're saying is true.
Well, it's very dangerous because all of our electronics are based on silver. So what does the Chinese know? It must be driving you nuts to see all this information and see them hold down the precious metals price to how low it is. I mean, it's great for us right now, but it potentially could be the biggest national security risk we have. I mean, there's so many national security risks, but if that undermines our whole financial situation.
Yes, it does. And they're also the largest owner of rare earth metals.
That's huge.
They're going to Africa and buying up all the cobalt reserves everywhere. So, you know, a few years ago, they stopped selling any of those metals to Japan. They could shut that down like that to the U.S. And watch what happens to Tesla and watch what happens to all the batteries and all the things that we need. They own it all.
Our whole high-tech industry is based on precious metals or those metals and silver. And we're hosed if they just shut that down. So talk about a national security risk, because that's our whole game right now is the high-tech industries. That's our only shining star.
Think in terms of years and decades. We think in terms of days and weeks. That's the difference. They have positioned themselves through selling us all of their stuff. They've taken all that money and they have bought things. They're buying up all the oil reserves. They're buying up all the gold mines. They're the largest producer and importer of gold and silver in the world. Although last year, Russia, which sold all their treasuries, bought more gold than China did. But they're both along the same path. And heaven forbid we wake up one morning to find a deal struck with the Saudis and OPEC, where, you know, with this new NOPEC thing, this deal that Trump is trying to be able to hold the OPEC nations accountable for price rigging, price fixing. Isn't that funny? We're aggravating them to no end. And if all of a sudden Saudis wake up one day and we wake up on a Monday morning and there's a declaration that we are now accepting oil in yuan and ruble and euro, and the Chinese and Russians have granted us protection, just like the U.S. does. Watch what happens to the U.S. dollar in the treasury market by evening of that day. It would incentivize every person on the planet, every government on the planet who does not like the United States, to dump dollars and buy yuan and ruble and euro. The reason the United States has the luxury that it does and the standard of living we enjoy is because we have been given the ability to the petrodollar ability. Everyone has to buy dollars to buy oil. So U.S. dollar is the foundation of every currency on the planet as a result. And most of the number of them don't particularly care for the United States. Do you know that right now gold is at all-time highs in about 75 currencies because of the strength of the U.S. dollar? So while it seems meandering here in the United States, just about every country on the planet is at or near all-time highs in the price of gold and silver. So we have a dollar-centric view here, one that's not as accurate as it is in other parts of the world as to the importance of owning precious metals. And that's the thing to really keep in mind. Remember what Ibbotson said. Ibbotson, who does not have a dog in the fight, said there are no assets on the planet next to gold and silver, which, by the way, are not the only asset, which isn't simultaneously someone else's liability, but there are no assets that have as inverse of a correlation to the U.S. stock market as precious metals. And that's the thing. It's like being floating on the Titanic. Well, you don't need to have a whole bunch of life rafts in a boat that's unsinkable until you're sinking. And all of a sudden, we'll wake up one morning and find out, oh, my God, we're sinking. And did I buy life raft? No, I didn't. And that's the thing. You know, I think it's really important to be proactive in all of your decision-making. The numbers are right here in front of us. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years ago, and our government publicly just said we're $75 trillion underfunded, not even including the unfunded liabilities that extend out to Medicare and government and military pensions and all of these things that make it almost double that. So, look, I think that any way you spin it right now, to me, if I had to boil this down to one statement, it would be you need to mitigate your exposure to the U.S. dollar and you need to do it quickly because the central banks of the world are doing just that. They're de-dollarizing and they are buying more gold and silver than any time since 1950. So I think that it's certainly something to watch right now and to realize that an overly large position to U.S. securities and the U.S. dollar is precarious. So that would be my word of the day.
Well, it seems like the fact that they changed the rules so now that it can be valued at 100% versus, you know, a fraction of what it was before gives you an enormous indication of what's really going on. Part of me thinks they're doing it because it's so undervalued and they're admitting to it. The other part of me tells me they're doing it because this is the only thing.
Well, you know what, and why isn't it talked about? Why does CNN not talk about it? Why did USA Today?
Anywhere, well, CNN doesn't talk
anywhere.
About
squat. Even you know, Bloomberg, Fox, no one's talking about it. This could be
exactly. That's the problem. Well, no, and Andy, what you're saying, you know, Fox News isn't talking about the fact that we're, how many trillion did you say the Treasury report said we were in debt? Yeah, 75 trillion. You know, Fox News is spinning itself as the leader, and they're doing some better things, but they're not talking about some of these most important elements. So this clues you in that they still are controlled opposition when the most important things in our country are not being talked about. You know, at least they're talking about the fact that the president's being, you know, completely demolished and nobody's supporting him. At least they're just doing a 50-50 thing. They're, when they did research on him, half the time they're supporting him and half the time they aren't. But we are in a bit. I'd rather have a business person who cares about this country and is trying to do the best for our country than somebody's really ready to sell us out. Right. I mean, that's an obvious statement, but I really believe that there are a lot in this last election and still in this election coming up in the Democrat side who are ready to sell us out.
Yeah, you're right. There's
and I don't think Bernie wants to sell us out, but I don't think he has a clue. I really don't think he has a clue how to solve this problem because you can't solve this problem by just giving everything away. But we can't have a situation where our biggest asset is student debt. That is disgraceful beyond belief.
It is. It's disgraceful and it's embarrassing when we consider ourselves to be the world reserve currency and the bastion or the beacon of safety and investment in the world. And yet, you know, what do we have to show for it but a mountain of debt on our children's backs? And, you know, going back to your point on Fox, remember what I said, every single news station on the planet, on the United States, rather, newspaper, magazine, television station, radio, Fox included, they're owned by four companies. And go up the line on those four companies and you'll see, you know, there was an interesting thing that I saw a year or so ago on a station like yours. And it was showing a snippet, a 5-second snippet from 50, 75 television stations across the United States. Some of them Fox, some of them ABC, some NBC, some CBS. Fox was in there. And there was like a 12-word sentence describing something with some interesting buzzwords. And every single anchor said the exact same 12 words describing this thing. So it's almost as if every morning, doesn't matter if you're Fox or ABC, you get a fax. And that fax is coming from up here. And up here, they're all siphoned down to the information that they want to disseminate. That is their reality that they're trying. And it's people like you who shine a light on the crap out there. And, you know, it's unfortunate that that is the way that it is, but it's true. It really is true. And when you see things that are as important and earth-shattering as a $75 trillion debt to our country, why aren't the news anchors screaming that there needs to be something done? That's the part to me that's the scariest.
Well, it's and there that's not the only... That's not the only thing. I mean, there's been a lot of things that I can't believe it. Or I see a cover up in the news that is so obvious. And I see the facts in front of me and then I see them lying. I don't know if the anchors are lying, but the whole station is. Somebody's lying and feeding them this and they're too incompetent to check it out. I'm telling you, here, feed the peasants this today. This is how we control the narrative today. Okay, tomorrow this is what the peasants get fed. I mean, that's essentially what it is. And it's disturbing for those of us who are smarter and are thinking, critically thinking, and going, wait a minute. I mean, you look at people who I all talk to, and every single one of them were superstars in the businesses that they worked for when they first started out. They're all amazing. They all were inventors and doing all these great things, and now they all kind of backed down and said, I'm going to do this. I'm interviewing all these superstars. If any company, these people would have been in a company, they would have been the superstar at their companies, you know, rising up the company the fastest if they played the game. They're all moving on and say, I can't play that game, and I want to do what's real. And so who I'm interviewing, who I have on the show are the best of the best. And that is, I think long term, I think we can win by just being the best. You know, the cream is rising to this genre, but they're really censoring us. And so I hope people wake up and realize you are getting the smartest and brightest and best people giving you information. It's just that they're working hard to make us look like idiots when we are the ones who are bringing you the real truth and the information. And you use your critical mind. Make sure we're not lying to you. Make sure we're giving you the truth. But hey, you got to look and use your critical mind, because these things are serious. I mean, it's almost unbelievable that they're covering up $75 trillion debt. You know, I mean, like, what the hell?
Or the largest asset that they publicly print, federal government prints, is $1.5 trillion in student debt. That's criminal. Why that isn't the front page of every newspaper in America is beyond me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that. I mean, like, I was military equipment.
And of the $4 trillion roughly that they took in tax revenue, over half of it went to pay Medicare and Medicaid, over half, which will be broke in 15 years. So half of what they're taking in of the $4 trillion goes to insolvent funds, and over $500 billion went to pay interest alone. You think that's why they have an inclination of not raising interest rates? Every 1% rise in interest rates is a $220 billion increase in interest payments to our creditors. And again, I find it crazy when you talk about the insolvency of Social Security to know that they are also the largest holder of U.S. Treasury. So it's just crazy what's happening right now, and that no one's talking about it, and that the misdirection of a precious metals at the same time record acquisition by the most sophisticated traders on the globe should tell you something, that your lying eyes aren't doing you a service. You have to realize that the game is rigged against you, that the numbers will have to play out at some time. That's what you know, we talk about mathematics. So when I look back at the things that I've talked about as a company since 1989, almost all of them have come true. Never when we anticipated, usually much later than we thought. But the reason that they do come true is that they're rooted in mathematics and economics, which you can't hide from. You can add variables that will end the duration and mitigate the outcome, perhaps. And those variables, they're very adept at doing, but the mathematics are screaming that you have two alternatives right now. It's either inflate or die, or default. So, you know, there are no other ways to back out of the problems that we have, either default on the debt or inflate it away. And governments, since the beginning of time, have chosen the least painful alternative, and that is inflation. And you know, when they talk about there being no inflation, my son just spent his first year at the University of Michigan. $70,000 was his tuition. You tell me there's no inflation. They're not shopping at the same grocery stores. They're not paying the same tuition. They're not paying the same insurance premiums I am, obviously, because Congress gets their own. But the bottom line is that we're beginning, I think, to see some real inflationary problems. And the trade war could very well exacerbate those problems. So I think if I had to guess, the second half of 2019 could be very eventful, not only for the precious metals market, but, you know, we just sent a aircraft carrier and a bunch of troops to the Middle East. And what's going on in Iran isn't a joke either, you know. And so I think that things are going to get very, very interesting. And I hope we don't go to war again, because you know, Iran isn't doing anything to bother us at this point. And really, they can't do anything to bother us at this point. And to go there and preemptively start rattling the sabers is probably not such a good thing either. And so I think that we are going to see some interesting, tumultuous times in the second half of 2019 leading up to the election. Trump will not back down from any of this stuff. He will not go into the election showing weakness. In fact, it will be the antithesis of that. So as it pertains to his military strategy and his economic policy, I look at him, look for him to be very staunch and hold his ground. And, you know, I only hope that that doesn't have a negative outcome. While I'm very patriotic and wish him nothing but the best, these are scary times, period.
Well, I got to tell you, yeah, they are. But I got to tell you, his base is not into wanting more wars.
No.
Which is a total flip from what you would have thought. That's why Fox News is talking about, well, maybe we shouldn't be going to war here, you know? I mean...
It doesn't do us any good to mess with them. I was reading Doug Casey, an article he wrote about this just the other day, and he was saying, look, you know, an aircraft carrier in the Gulf there is a sitting duck. The Iranians have missiles that go 2,000 miles per hour skimming across the surface of the water. They could fire 50 of them at that aircraft carrier and sink it in 10 seconds. And all of a sudden, you're in World War III. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Well, because they have Russian military equipment. The Russians are selling them that stuff, and the Russia is ahead of us. Because we are, not that we don't have the money, not that we don't have the capability, we've just been incompetent for a long time because of all the corruption and all the stealing. So with the money that we spend on our military, why would we not have the best in the world? It's because we have a bunch of corruption and stealing. It's the same problem we have everywhere. But, you know, I could go on and on about this. I love talking to you because you're so bright. I love this.
I'm with you too, and I love talking to your listeners. Everyone I've ever talked to has been so nice. So I really appreciate being here, and I will always come back when asked.
Well, how can people get hold of you?
So they can call me directly at 1-800-255-1129. That's my direct dial, available to Andy at Miles Franklin by email. We publish a daily newsletter at least 4 days a week or so, information-based only. Our website is myfranklin.com, and we have some exclusives that no one else in the world has as it pertains to storage in Canada. We have loan programs against precious metals. We have a lot of really interesting things that are unusual in this industry. If your listeners would like to give us a call, give myself a call personally, and chat about any of the things that we can do, we'd love the opportunity to do it. So myself personally, Andy at myfranklin.com, or 800-255-1129, and you do have a link to my personal cell phone from that number. In a world that is so homogenous, I like to differentiate myself, Sarah, every bit I can by being accountable, but more so by being accessible. And I don't like a world where everything's voicemail and emails. I like to actually be there. So give us a call. Give me a call. I think you'll find I answer more often than I don't.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. It's always great to chat with you. And until next time, I'll look forward to picking up where we left off.